Stay tuned for a free hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. I know it's been a little bit on the chilly side. It's warming up a little bit here. Larry Glass, how are you today?
Fine. You over there grooving to that banjo music.
That's
pretty good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's your brother.
Yeah, what's with the weather anyway? Geez, to the moon, Alice.
It'd probably be warmer.
I should hope. Yeah, really.
Yeah, what is with it? I mean,
oh, man.
My goodness sakes. You know, we had that little brief chill there would kind of reminded us of February of last year. You know, that 2 weeks of winter that felt like 10 months?
I remember
months?
That.
Oh, my.
That was so, the ground was so hard and frozen. We couldn't do anything hardly. Jeez.
Not so bad this time around, though.
You should see my natural gas bill for that month.
I would freak
at the nursery.
Out.
Man, it was crazy.
However,
you know, on those greenhouses, when the sun shines,
yeah,
they their passive solar heat. Yeah, kicks in really good.
Oh, I bet it does.
And we're actually throwing it away, so.
Oh,
yeah, believe it or not. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Anyway, that kind of reminds me of what's going on at the nursery. We have a good crop of cyclamens that are coming around.
Sweet.
And hey, guys, if you're going to wait till the last minute for Valentine's Day, well, cyclamen probably one of the better things. Especially if your Valentinette likes, is that a word? Anyway, likes plants. The cyclamen is a very good plant. Some people can keep them alive in their house for 8 or 10 years.
They can.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. They're kind of easy to grow plant, and they're kind of easy going, and actually they need less water than they look like they might need. So
they're not needy is what you're saying.
Most people overwater them because they sort of look like a plant that belongs, that should be planted at the bottom of a waterfall or something, but no, they're not. They have a bulbous root on them, which does a good job of storing water, so they're pretty well suited.
Good.
For the house. You just don't put them near a heating duct or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They'll turn into
a big old cornflake in no time.
So you don't want that.
And be sure to let it dry out a little bit between watering. So anyway, so cyclamens are available in red, white, and pink. So they're still cool colors. They haven't gotten any warm yellows or oranges in them yet, but they're still Valentine's color.
Good.
So they're pretty cool to have around the house, too. So you might want to consider getting one or two of those. So,
all right.
In the garden right now, well, deer.
Deer.
Some people have problems with deer in the garden.
Oh, that kind of deer.
Eating up their plants. And so there are some things you can do. Either use commercial repellents or maybe a fence or netting. Or one thing that people don't consider is plant choice.
What's that?
Plant choice.
Oh.
Choice of plants.
Oh, gotcha there.
If you have a bad problem with deer. And you can work that into your landscape if you have a serious deer problem.
Stuff that doesn't taste good for deer.
And there's a list of plants that they don't really like. So, like Nandinas, for one. Some people don't like Nandinas. but anyway, they do very well. Plants with pungent fragrance like lavenders, marigolds, things like that. Deer love tulips.
They do.
Oh, yum.
Wow.
But they won't touch daffodils.
They won't.
Daffodils are a member of the amaryllis family, and they're
all
kind of toxic. So, and they really do like azaleas, and absolutely love hostas. But hostas aren't out right now. And rosemary, mint plants, crepe myrtles they don't like. Agapanthus, fountain grass, they don't like. Hens and chicks.
They don't.
At least they're not a carnivore. No, there's plants. There's little plants called hens and chicks. Anyway.
Well, good. You have me going there for a moment.
And they don't like other things, too. There's, you know, lantanas they don't like, and catmint, lamb's ear, lily of the valley, and bee balm, and lungwort they don't like either. Yeah.
Lungwort?
That doesn't sound like anything good.
No, it doesn't.
It's a pretty cool plant, but anyway.
Cool plant. Weird name.
Weird name. So anyway, so deer in the landscape, they can be a bit of a pest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have some tomatoes and vegetables, and right now if you want some cool season crops like lettuce and radishes and whatnot, they need to be shielded and that can be done in several ways. Mm-hmm. A physical mechanical screen, mm-hmm. such as a fence, would work very well. Mm-hmm. But one thing that might work is a sheep panel or cattle panel.
Oh, okay.
Elevated above the plants, so they can't get through. So, something like that too.
They don't want to fight too hard for it.
Well, no. And most of the people's plants they have in the winter right now are a little bit on the short side.
You bet.
But here it is. It's already, it's not quite the middle of January. But
no, it's Elvis' birthday, man.
But it'll be time to start thinking about doing some spring peas, lettuce, mm-hmm. and radishes and things right now.
A few weeks. Yeah.
Just not that 2-3 weeks away, yeah. Traditionally.
Yeah,
if we follow what happened last year, forget it.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
The only thing we can grow then was ice cubes.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so watch out for the deer. And there are other little critters, too, like little rabbits and things that can mm-hmm. get into your stuff. And I guess one point is your Japanese maples and things, the tender plants like that. Mm-hmm. The animals really like that bark. And squirrels are a bit of a problem on them, too. All it takes is one of the little critters to just bite into it and say, that's good.
Next thing you know, their friends come over for a bite.
You bet. And you've got them all lined up over there dining on your $300 Japanese maple.
Oh.
So you might want to if you do, and look at it real closely and see if there's any scarring on the trunk, any evidence of that. And then you might want to get a tree wrap to wrap it up. Perhaps that'll deter them from doing that. So they can be, I was at somebody's house a while back, and that squirrel just ate the thing up. And then they invited their buddies over. And, you know, it's a real nice big Japanese maple. And they just ate it.
Gee, Minnie.
But just cut it back. It'll bring the fresh out again in the spring. But still, you spend all that time waiting for it to grow big and something makes a...
Then all of a sudden you got squirrels turning into beavers on you.
Squirrels giving feast on it, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway... And that kind of leads us up to annual of the week. This is Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Morning Glory. It's a vine. What I like about this plant is you grow it on a trellis, and it doesn't outgrow a trellis. You take something like honeysuckle or trumpet vine or something, and
they are everywhere.
And they just keep growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The advantage of putting an annual on a trellis is that it doesn't outgrow it, and it doesn't get so heavy that it pulls it down.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to replant it every year.
Yeah.
So anyway, perennial or annual growing plants come from North America, Asia, South Africa, the West Indies, and so they're kind of pretty much all over the world. It makes you wonder how these seeds get spread around. Probably birds
and
squirrels.
And migrating birds, my friend.
Gardeners. Anyway, they're kind of related to the sweet potato. However, they're grown for their pretty flowers, and the twining climbers, anywhere from 10 to 30 feet high. And the bushy morning glory forms a mound about 3 to 4 feet tall. So they're very good for some flower color up mm-hmm. on a trellis in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one plant you might want to consider. And also, it's getting time to maybe acquire some of the seed, if you can get it, and then just get it right now. And then in the middle of March, you get them started, mm-hmm. and then they'll grow and they'll be more established into the ground. So Morning Glory, and they're available in primarily cool colors also,
mm-hmm.
The blues and the reds, pinks and whatnot. And I really like these just because they're so easy.
They're simple.
Very simple plants. So, so anyway, you might consider Ipomea, Morning Glory. Now, Ipomea, that's kind of a wide... selection of plants in the Ipomea mm-hmm. group. That includes the sweet potato vine, too. It's related to that. And the sweet potato vine doesn't really do a good job of climbing. It's more or less of a ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to climb up something, you have to train it as such. But the morning glory, you don't. It just naturally goes up.
Good.
But anyway, the sweet potato vine, as a member of this group, is one that if you have a fairly large area you want to cover, this makes a very good cover. And it has a sort of this eerie green color mm-hmm. to it, the generic one. It's just kind of a alien green.
Whoa.
It's also available in a purple and a variegated too. And they've come up with some new sweet potato vines
mm-hmm.
that don't get so big. It's a compact growing. We sell a lot of that in the spring, just a ton of it.
I bet you do.
And because it is so carefree and easy to grow. So this particular group, the Ipomoeas, are very easy to grow plants, and primarily they're vining plants. And they're getting a little bit of bushiness growing in the sweet potato vine, so it doesn't just spread out everywhere, so it just stays in bounds. They make pretty good hanging baskets, too. They kind of grow, and they grow, and they
grow.
And they do have a root structure on them, a sweet potato vine-like thing, which I wouldn't bother eating it. I don't even think the squirrels will eat this one.
No, not good at all.
There's just nothing to it, really. And the sweet potato vine does have flowers that look very similar to the morning glory. Structurally, that is, but they're not as showy.
No.
So that's probably next to come up with a showy flowering sweet potato vine.
Mm-hmm.
No care, easy grow plant, drought, wet.
Doesn't matter.
Cool, dry, whatever.
They'll just show you.
It'll grow anywhere.
Yeah,
so that'd be a nice one to have, too.
Oh, golly, yeah.
And this particular group of plants, the morning glories, the Ipomoea, mm-hmm. are very easy to grow plants. The only pest it might have would be on the morning glory itself, would be specifically some aphids. And the sweet potato vine typically has a caterpillar, which mm-hmm. is an insect in its moth or something in its larval stage.
Oh.
That will poke a few holes in the leaves, but other than that, they're pretty pest-free. Okay?
As long as you know what you're up against.
And the perennial of the week is one that we'll be selling shortly at the nursery. That's Helleborus orientalis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Otherwise known as a...
After I Google it, I'll know.
Google.
Or ask Larry.
If you want,
hey Larry, what's that?
If you want to know where it is, just Google it. Yeah. No. Anyway, the Linton Rose.
There you go.
Is a very subtle little plant,
mm-hmm.
kind of spectacular in a way, but it's an herbaceous perennial plant that is evergreen in our climate here, and it's much admired for this trait. Actually, the Helleborus in many people's gardens is beginning to make somewhat of a presence at this point. And it blooms, typically, late January, February, and into March. It's a pretty cool plant. You have to have the right environment for it, too. It doesn't like drought.
Ew.
And it doesn't like a lot of hot sun.
So then it wouldn't like August around here much, would it?
And it doesn't like clay.
Oh, now you kind of really broadened it out.
Well, good thing it is your name isn't clay, but anyway.
It
doesn't like clay soil, put it that way.
Clay soil.
So it needs a very organic, loose kind of soil.
Got to work your dirt for this.
So spend the $9 and get a big old bag of compost when you buy a couple of these.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll help the soil out a whole lot.
Help your plant out a whole lot
While you're
more.
At it, get a bag of mulch, too. So anyway, the Helleborus blooms, very subtle little blooms. And mm-hmm. you put it in kind of a woodsy garden or somewhere close to the house. There was, a long time ago, a customer of mine who lived on Frank Phillips Boulevard. And she had a whole front of her house was done in nothing but the Linton Rose, or Helleborus. Mm-hmm. And when they bloomed, it was really spectacular. But they're no longer there anymore. She moved away.
Oh.
So, and they do need a little bit of care. And they weren't getting them, so they're not there anymore. So, anyway.
I know a house on Frank Phillips Boulevard that could use that kind of care.
There you go.
There you go.
But anyway, I admired her garden for that and always mm-hmm. came to visit her in the spring and look at her
roses.
Talk about her plants or Helleborus. That's kind of fun. But anyway, it really has very few pests, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because the pests are not there in the cold.
There you go.
So that makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? But anyway, they don't have a lot of pests primarily because of that. Even in the summertime, the animals and the insects just don't particularly like this plant. It really doesn't make a big show in the landscape. So don't use it as a big part of the landscape. Just use it in little bits here and there rather than a big show of them because they're not that showy.
Not showy at all.
And plant them somewhere where you can see them and where you can frequently visit them and mm-hmm. see them too so that you'll be rewarded. We did a landscape on a house on Hawthorne Court where they had a bad erosion problem with it. Mm-hmm. Into the driveway that... water sliding. So we built a walkway
mm-hmm.
and did some terracing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in amongst the oak trees. And we fortified that soil with that compost. And golly, these Helleborus are big as a bushel basket. And they bloom so nicely in the spring.
Wow, I bet.
So it did help that we did an irrigation system back in 19, 89.
Oh, wow. That's some time back.
Something finally went wrong with that one, too.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, a diaphragm ruptured on the master valve. But,
well, after 30-some years.
Well, we got it fixed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It took a few minutes.
Good as new.
Good as new, right? Everything worked fine after that. So, anyway.
No trouble now, man.
It just got so old it rotted.
Well, that is going to happen from time to time with things.
So, anyway, the Helleborus is pink, rose, and purple varieties, and white, and some solid splotches of color, and so on. The leaves can have some interesting variegations on them, too. They're native to areas Eurasia, including Greece, Turkey, and other areas around there.
Those areas.
Like I said before, it likes rich, loose, woozy soil, and fertilize them in early spring. This is a slow-growing plant that dislikes being disturbed, and will be slow to recover if it is moved. But anyway, it's kind of cool. We sell a lot of them, too. Golly, we sell a ton of these plants. They do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Moist, well-drained soil, but adaptable in drier situations. USDA zone 4 to 9. We're right about the middle of that. So
right
that do
seven,
very well.
Six
zone
and a half.
9, yeah. Zone 9, it doesn't get very cold.
No, it doesn't.
And,
it's kind of like Mexico, isn't it?
pretty close. It's all like South Carolina or something.
Okay.
And zone 4 is plumb up north.
Oh, way up north.
That 4 miles south of the Arctic Circle, so they're pretty hardy. No, ooh, not that far north. No, we're zone 6.5, so they put it Wisconsin or something. That's where they grow. So that's a pretty cool plant. So
there you go. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. We have 24-hour service, so if you get a piece of equipment from United Reynolds and it breaks down on you, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to have somebody out there relatively quickly that's either going to get the machine up and running, or they're going to say, hey, this is catastrophic. We need to go get another piece of equipment. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
At Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, come see their large selection of tropical plants for inside the home. And right now, save big on trees at 30% off. Start planning your landscape designs now. Green Thumb has design consultants that will plan your landscape design according to your specifications, or they'll design it for you. Be sure to get on the list now for your appointment. And their winter hours are Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, or by appointment only. Check out Bartlesville's largest plant selections at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowa. What a road.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Your phone calls are welcome on this kind of cold and damp day at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis. He is Larry Glass. He's the guy you want to talk to. Larry.
Right. And now that's the time people are talking about planning for their vegetable gardens.
Yep.
If they're trying to stay out of the cold. But still, some people do a bit of planning on that. And it's getting real close to time where we can start planting some cool season crops.
Okay.
Things like, say, spinach, for example. Mm-hmm. If they can grow pretty much with everything, really. They do very well with cilantro. But anyway, so spinach, peas. Also, peas are a little bit picky. They don't like chives. They don't like garlic and leeks. And they definitely do not go very well with onions.
Well, so you got, you got a select neighborhood.
Yeah.
There
so,
you go.
So there's what we call companion planting. And I have a little chart here that kind of shows what plants go well with others.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of want to avoid that sometimes because you have a few problems with compatibility. And mm-hmm. you hear all these little guns going off at night.
Oh, now. It's a plant riot.
Plants that look something like each other.
Good grief.
So anyway, beans came on a little bit later, but they got a lot of things they don't like. So you can find a plant companion planting chart just about anywhere online.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a print of one here. So anyway.
I thought it was a crossword puzzle. You got all these different colors and everything in there. Yeah, it's all cross-referencing things with what you got. So yeah,
it looks
cool.
Like the computer on the C-View.
Yeah.
Remember that?
C-View, yeah.
All the lights lit.
Lit up everything. I remember that. Talk about a blast from the past.
Really? So anyway, it's time to start planning for that. Mm-hmm. And you might research some tomato varieties. And we're ordering our seeds and things. And if you have something special, you might want to get some seeds, and we can get those for mm-hmm. you, perhaps. And actually, we do have some custom growing for some people, too, occasionally in the greenhouse. So it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Myself, I grow them in a west window in a tin can and use a pop bottle for the heating greenhouse effect. They do very well. It's fine. Big old tomato plants. Typically, they're started middle of March, about a month ahead of time mm-hmm. when they're supposed to go out. First of March, middle of March. And then when it's warm outside, you sort of put them outside to let them get tempered to the weather,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So hardening off, it's called.
There you go.
Tempering is a good word, too. But nonetheless, just so when you plant them outside, they won't be just kind of flopping around in the breeze and breaking up and all that. Just give them a little bit of hardiness. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and if you planted tomatoes in an area, you might want to maybe plant them in a different area, perhaps. Crop rotation is good.
Very good here.
And also the debris from the tomatoes need to be gotten rid of. If you mm-hmm. haven't done it yet, you need to be sure to do it. And also the garden, good time to plow it up.
Mm-hmm.
I took down my fence on which was growing birdhouse. I grew dipper gourds this year.
Dipper
big
gourds.
Big long handled dipper gourds. We grew a bunch of those. They're drying out on the table right now. But anyway, I took out the sheep panel or cattle panel,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to turn the soil over and expose it here. Maybe it'll be warm enough today. I can go back in my little garden. I have this little area. It's about half the size of this room.
Okay.
Small yard. But I guess surprisingly amount of tomatoes and a lot of dipper gourds.
Wow.
Some cherries and all kinds of things on that little patch. Garlic
mm-hmm.
and the potatoes and things. So anyway, so that's going to happen this year. So now's a good time to get that soil broken up. Just take a shovel and turn it over and leave it rough.
Mm-hmm.
And the freezing and thawing will loosen up the soil. So when it comes time to plant, you just kind of take a rake and rake it back and forth.
There you go.
So our soil here tends to clump a little bit.
And it does.
That's one way to combat that is to mm-hmm. break it up and expose it like that to the cold. Mm-hmm. And it'll make it easier to plant things and give it all summer before it packs down to concrete again.
And it will.
By the fall. So,
and it will.
So now's in the vegetable garden, now's the time to get that ready. And also if you had kind of punky looking tomatoes or plants, you might consider adding some gypsum to the soil. If you have blossom end rot, the gypsum will help prevent that by giving some available calcium to the plant. A little bit of sulfur, too, helps. Mm-hmm. And also some Epsom salts. Not a whole lot, but just maybe a cup or so per 50 square feet. Not a whole lot. And that gives them some elemental magnesium.
Oh, good.
Which is necessary for the chlorophyll molecule. Yeah,
very good.
Pretty cool, yeah. And it also helps lower the pH. Tomatoes like a pH of about 6.5.
What's our average pH around here?
Anywhere from 5.5 to 8.
Oh, yeah. It varies.
Yeah, I've found it in all kinds of places like that. In some parts of Woodland Park over there on Oakdale, about 1,300 block of Oakdale. Mm-hmm. 13, yeah. It was we picked up a 5.5 over there. And in Sooner Park, we got an 8 at one time.
And that's not all that far away.
The geology over here is so variable
that
you really kind of have to know what's going on with with your soil at people's houses so you mm-hmm. can do a landscape design. I've seen so many landscape design, so many landscapes fail because they didn't analyze the soil.
You got to do that first. You got to know what's going to grow.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's kind of important. And you can find out, I guess I've had done this so many years that I can just dig it up and kind of find out and smell it even what kind of soil you have.
Really? You can do that? That's,
oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can
You've
tell.
Been doing this a little bit more in a minute, though. So.
You bet. So anyway, soil is very important in the success of a mm-hmm. vegetable garden. Also, exposure. Tomatoes, don't plant them near the fence. You might want to do a bed somewhere in the middle of the garden, perhaps somewhere in the middle of the yard, perhaps.
Why don't you want to do it by the fence?
Just the air circulation isn't as good.
Got it.
And it's.
You need air.
Yeah. Because our summers here, the air is very stagnant, mm-hmm. like for weeks at a time.
And your mater's gotta breathe.
And outside of putting an electric fan out there, you want an area where it can breathe a little bit too. So. Kind of out in the open and nowhere where it can the warm air can kind of pocket right there, and your tomatoes will do very much better right there. And also a raised bed of some kind. They do like good drainage.
They do.
So you can build a raised bed out of landscape timbers, railroad ties maybe if they're really old, not too gooey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or those landscape blocks, those little pentagonal landscape
blocks.
Yeah,
those work really well.
You get at the big box stores, they make good bed, and they're lightweight and easy to manage and easy to do. So, mm-hmm. and I would go probably at least a foot tall on a raised bed, just so it'll do it. So
that works.
Just so it'll drain real well.
We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be back after this 2-minute timeout.
When you hear a Skyway Honda commercial, pay attention.
We have over 50 new Hondas on the ground in stock.
David Counterman is telling you about the great selection at Skyway Honda.
We also have over 250 that are on order that'll be here in the months of February, March, and April.
The great financing.
Many different lenders available depending on what your need is.
And pre-owned vehicle.
The new 2022 CRV Hybrid.
Skyway Honda.
South side of Bartlesville. Under the giant American flag on Highway 75. Skyway Honda, where you get the best deal without the ordeal.
Start out the new year right with great bargains of the month from Peter's True Value in Dewey. This month, get Blue Death 2.5-gallon diesel exhaust fluid for $13.99. Pick up a 20-pound bag of wild bird food for only $10.99. Save $3. And pick up Morton 40-pound Clean and Protect water softening pellets for only $6.99. That's only at Peter's True Value in Dewey, 1865 North Osage.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 8:35, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and we've been talking about things, a lot of things, kind of pertain to your soil and making sure everything goes into the ground well, comes up out of the ground well.
Now, in doing raised beds, the soil, the indigenous soil we get here is just a base to begin
mm-hmm.
with.
Yes, it is.
It typically what we get from the dump truck and what we have at the nursery is what we call sandy loam. Mm-hmm. And it's got, you know, a bit of sand in it and some loam, but not much, and some clay too. But it doesn't have much organic material in it. So you want to add some compost, and I like to multiply your surface area by 0.883, and that gives you how many bags of compost you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got to do your maths.
Yeah.
Got to do numbers. Got to do some ciphering.
Yeah, so. Or is it 0.183? I'll have to look it up anyway.
We'll look it up.
So anyway, and that'll kind of give you sort of a formula. And you want it prepped at least 8 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, our entire civilization depends on the top 8 inches of soil.
It does.
On the planet. So, and that's typically about that deep, is how deep the roots go.
We found that out back in the 1920s and 30s around here, didn't we?
Yeah, that was a mess.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And actually, my father-in-law was a farmer out in western Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And he followed the soil conservation guidelines.
Yeah.
And he won some awards for that, for his conservation efforts and all that. So it's quite a deal back, you know, out there. And they're really serious about it, too. About,
well, you got to be. Keep, I mean, the last that. Time we had that Dust Bowl, you know, yeah. Your top 8 inches of soil wound up in Ohio.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So you want to be, now that the good farmers out there will practice.
Very good technique.
Very good techniques, and the extension agents always helps out on that, too, and kind of mm-hmm. tells you how to do it, the terracing and everything else involved. So make sure your soil is really good. And our soil typically we have here is not the best in the world for your tomato plants.
So you got to help it.
So you got to help it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and you might add a little gypsum and some stuff. And don't over-fertilize them, too. That'll cause too much top growth and tracking tomatoes and all that. So use a fertilizer with a bit of a phosphorus in it. That should do okay. We got a caller.
I hope so. Let's go to the phones real quick. Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. You got a question or comment for Larry?
Yeah, I was curious what he thinks about putting the potash from the fireplace in this garden, because that's what I've done, and I don't do it all the time. You know, but occasionally I'll put some in a different area, and it helps. From what I see, it helps break the soil up, make it more loamy.
It helps.
I don't know what it.
It helps to a degree, but don't try not to use too much.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah,
you mix too much, it really hurts your plants.
Yeah, it can cause some issues.
Some can help loam it up, because I heard you talking about how to get the soil to break up because it's real clumpy, and we have a lot of clay here.
Yeah. I use the ashes from my smoker.
You do that too?
Yeah, my vegetable garden. It works very well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when you burn wood. And
sure,
so,
yeah.
It works fine. I don't have any problems with plants. But I don't really put a whole lot on it. So.
Yeah.
Now,
it's very sparingly, but if you got a place that's got a lot of clay and really clumpy,
uh-huh.
it can really help get it to where it's pliable.
My grandmother would put her fireplace ashes on her iris plants, and they seem to always do very well.
Yeah.
She could grow the biggest iris you ever saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, beautiful things. But yeah. But not too much.
Yeah, right. Okay, I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, it's good. It does have some beneficial items for the soil, so you just don't want to overdo it. It'll do fine.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks for calling.
That's hundreds and maybe even thousands of years old. People were using some ash to kind of help out the soil.
Potash,
a very, very wise reuse
mm-hmm.
and getting things to work right like that.
Okay, it does have some trace elements in it too, so other mm-hmm. things. So it'll be good for your plants. Yeah. So, but like everything else, in moderation.
In moderation.
So, we were talking about the soil in your vegetable gardens, and make sure when you get all your soil prep done, it's good and loose, and that it also will pass the drop test.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is you take a wad of soil and pack it and then drop it from about hip high, and it should shatter and shouldn't just go. Like a bread dough, it should kind of shatter out, and then you're in pretty good shape. So we've got time right now to do this mm-hmm. to get your soil ready, get it churned up, get it opened up.
Yeah,
and so and then planning for what you might want to grow. So another thing is irrigation. I use a drip system on mine to keep the soil moisture sort mm-hmm. of constant, and it does help a lot. The tomato plants really don't like feast or famine when it comes to fertility and also water.
Mm, they like that regularity, don't they?
Keep it kind of regular. And a good layer of mulch does a good job of help preventing water loss.
Yeah.
So some straw work very well. Thick layers of straw or hay will help prevent water loss too, and it's very beneficial for the plants. It also stabilizes the soil temperature too, which is very important on your tomatoes. You try to keep that soil temperature fairly constant.
Cool.
So, good heavy layer of mulch, lots of open sunshine, good air circulation. Watch your soil pH, watch your soil structure. Yeah, by the time of that, you get a PhD in chemistry.
But you get some darn tasty tomatoes as a result.
Exactly. Yeah. So they should grow very well. I've had customers just plant them and actually use a newspaper as a mulch, too.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, they have well-read tomatoes, yes. No, but use that and then a mulch on top. It helps control weeds, too.
There you go.
It's pervious for water and so on, and it decomposes usually by the time the year's over. It's all eaten up by slugs and things.
Give them something to eat instead of your tomatoes.
Yeah, they can. It'll insects and critters can learn, too. But.
Yes, they can. Look, word salad.
So anyway, so there's a lot of techniques, and everybody over time sort of develops their own little techniques like that. Okay, so that's kind of it with tomatoes.
All righty. So, we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program and your calls at 1-800-749-5936 after this two-minute timeout.
The Nursery and Greenhouses. Come see their large selection of tropical plants for inside the home. And right now, save big on trees at 30% off. Start planning your landscape designs now. Green Thumb has design consultants that will plan your landscape design according to your specifications, or they'll design it for you. Be sure to get on the list now for your appointment. And their winter hours are Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, or by appointment only. Check out Bartlesville's largest plant selections at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM K-Rig. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Monterey's Little Mexico, KFC, and La Fiesta, all in Bartlesville. See these and Savoris Mexican Restaurant in Dewey, Forever 8, Daylight Donuts in Ramona, Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop, and Buck's Barbecue and Steakhouse, Sedan, Kansas. The Dining Guides on K-Rig and KYFM.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Oh, it is the Green Country Garden Show. It is 8:45. I'm Tom. He's Larry. And you are who you are, but you can introduce yourself to us at 1-800-749-5936. That'll get you on the air if you got a question or a comment. Lawrence.
Yeah. On your trees and shrubs around the house at this point in time, you want to check on the watering status of those. We haven't had a lot of rain.
No.
And I noticed I pulled out some 30-year-old boxwoods around it. They just outgrew their welcome. Out they go. And it's dry. Ooh. The ground was really, really dry around them, too.
Mm.
So you watch out. You know, look for that also around your house. Maybe take a shovel and dig around a little bit and see what the status of your soil is. Also, look at your boxwoods, too. Look at the color of them. And if they're starting to turn a little orange color and, you know, like that, then the ground's probably a little bit on the dry side.
Yeah. Huh?
So you might want to go ahead and consider watering
them. Give them a drink.
Some of them don't do that, and some of them do. But anyway, so they could be just a little bit on the thirsty side. And look at the gloss on your hollies, the glossiness of the leaf. If they don't have a lot of shine to the leaves on your holly especially, that's a sign that they need some water.
Mm-hmm.
most of your evergreen plants really don't wilt, if you will.
No.
And yews are kind of the same way. Look at the sheen on the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, when a plant is really, really dry, the leaves kind of shrink a little bit, and the surface on them is as glossy as it was,
mm-hmm.
but it's not smooth, and that gives the illusion of lack of luster. Mm-hmm. So give it some water, and it'll shine back up again. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing with houseplants, too. Look at those, and they're looking a little on the dull side. Well, maybe they just need some water.
Just a little. Don't overlove them.
And also keeping the foundation at a constant moisture mm-hmm. level is good for your foundation, too.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a severely dry spell, then a severely wet spell, because our soil, granted, does have a lot of clay in it, and it does tend to shrink and swell and shrink and swell. And mm-hmm. that's a lot of exercise for concrete. Puts a lot of stress on it, too, because the hydraulic pressure of the swelling or clay is just about unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And it will wake up in the middle of that, pop, what was that?
Oh,
and my floor cracked because the clay shrank, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, really. So try to keep that moisture fairly constant. And one way to do it is to ensure you have a good layer of mulch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the pest control people say you don't want to put that real close to the house. So if they're one that say that, and some people don't, they don't say that. Some of them do. But anyway, you might keep a barrier around the house. They have maybe a river rock or something like that close mm-hmm. to the house, and then you put your mulch away mm-hmm. just to keep those pesky little house-eating insects from getting into there.
Mm.
So, but nonetheless, the point is try to keep that moisture fairly constant.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that on my driveway. It tends to go up and down and up and down.
Hey!
Yeah. So it does tend to
yeah.
shrink and swell a little bit. So try to keep that moisture level constant.
Okay.
Okay. Right now, pre-emergent herbicides can be applied still if you missed the boat on that. Typically, they have a lifespan of about 3 months, so January, February, March. I wouldn't really do too much of it right now at this point. I would wait till, say, late February, March to put down pre-emergent herbicides on mm-hmm. your beds, but that's coming up. So you might do a little research and find out which ones will be the best for you mm-hmm. to use on your landscape.
There you go.
They come in either a granular type, which is pretty easy to do. Just mm-hmm. shake it around a little bit. Another way to control weeds is to have a very thick, I mean 2 inches or more, layer of mulch on the surface.
Mm.
And that does a very good job of controlling weeds. One weed that is a real pest is fatuba. Yeah. Or it has all these little scallop leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Japanese mulberry weed. And it can be a real, real pest. Because it'll be, you know, they're just 2 inches tall and mm-hmm. it already has seeds on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of explode.
Oh.
And you wait about a week, there's all kinds of little ones around it.
Oh, no.
And meantime, the first one's already big, and little ones are that. And then they have little seeds, and they explode. It gets a little bigger.
Yeesh.
Sort of like this exponential growth of weeds, and they're such a pain.
Compound.
Really. So a pre-emergent does a pretty good job of that.
Stop them before they start, folks.
The mulberry weed is pretty easy to control with a good 2 or 3 inch layer of mulch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like that. They don't like the shade either.
No.
But they will grow in some shade if the conditions are right, and they get real tall and leggy. And then they have their little seeds that pop out everywhere.
And then you start all over again. Yeah. I was at a house a couple years ago.
He said, what is this plant? I said, it's mulberry weed. So I gave him some literature on how to control it and all that. Well, it's the heck with this. I'll just move.
Let the next guy figure it out.
Worry about it now.
well, that's something.
but the mulberry weed—that's a true story. The mulberry weed is very susceptible to herbicides like Roundup and something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to control, but most of it thrives very well in conjunction with our desirable plants mm-hmm. too.
Good.
And Bermuda grass is another one
you got
to watch out for. And I find that in a landscape, a good way to control that is mm-hmm. to have a impermeable barrier between the lawn and your beds.
There you go.
Now, the polyethylene edge doesn't work mm-hmm. too well. It goes, it's alive. Microphone. You got attacked by a microphone. But anyway.
My microphone just decided it was going to be an aggressive date.
I should say.
Yeah, moving in on me.
So anyway.
Sorry about that, folks.
So steel edging uh-huh. does pretty good, but steel edging does have imperfections in it. and I don't like the idea of falling on it.
No.
But it is a good one. We use it actually for primarily for concrete forms, for for edging. One of the better ones we found is a concrete base and stone edge, stone mm-hmm. topping or brick edge. We use use paving stones, too, for a border on the mm-hmm. bed. It makes a very permanent edge, too. And, God, you can run into it with your lawnmower or run your weed eater along to it. It's you can't hurt it.
You can't kill it.
It doesn't freeze or anything.
Nope.
It does a pretty good job of keeping the weeds out and maintaining itself. It makes a statement in the landscape. Mm-hmm. We're doing some projects now that involve some natural stone, sandstone, and we pour a concrete base and put that mortar it together. And it makes a really attractive landscape border.
Cool.
So, you might consider that perhaps too as an edge of some kind.
As an edge of some kind.
And Bermuda grass also tends to get in your monkey grass real bad too. And we've had good luck controlling that with a grass killer per se.
Okay.
The monkey grass is not a grass.
It's not. It's a just lily. Called monkey grass.
It's a lily, and it does not produce the certain chemical that the grass killer targets.
Uh-huh.
It works a little bit like Roundup in that it stops the production. Something to do with chlorophyll that's resident in the grass plants,
mm-hmm.
and the grass killer gets rid of the grass that way. I have found that you apply it once, and then 10 days later you have to apply it again,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to apply it again for it to work.
So it's a 30-day plan, 20 or 30
basically,
day
basically.
Yeah.
And the Bermuda grass is a real pest, especially if you get it in your Leary or your monkey grass per se, and it can be a real pain in the neck. And people get frustrated. They just rip everything out and start again.
That's no way to do it.
But there's ways to do that. And it's just a very casual little spraying of something. So it works pretty well. Use a surfactant when you use that too, because grasses tend to have a little bit of a hair on them, and it tends to repel. And it doesn't come with a surfactant mixed into it. It breaks down the chemical too much. So you have to mix it up and apply it at that point.
Okay.
For it to work real well.
Super. We're going to take a 3-minute timeout, and we'll be right back after this 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willow Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willow Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willow Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The Magic of Woolah Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Woolah Rock.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about retirement?
I've thought about it, but it's too late for me to save.
With Avo, a retirement coach, it's never too late.
Where can I learn more?
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Again, good morning. It is 8:56, Green Country Gardener program on your radio, and you can reach us at 1-800-749-5936. Larry?
Also in the garden, it's still time to trim the roses. They can be cut back rather sternly, especially the knockout roses. Mm-hmm. And I cut mine back way on back.
Yeah.
Way
Thanksgiving.
Back. Yeah, about then. I got all the old clubby growth out of them, too. And they haven't started to grow yet, but anyway, it's getting time to do that. Mm-hmm. Good time to also transplant peony plants, those peonies and hostas.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a big old clump of them, it's time to break them up, and then they'll make more big old clumps, and then you break them up, and next thing you know, you're out of room. But nonetheless, it's time to break up the peony plants right now. Hostas and other things too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt occasionally to divide your hostas. They mm-hmm. tend to do a little better if they're not so crowded around each other. Same thing with Hemerocallis, the daylily plant. It likes to be divided too, about every 3 years, especially the Stelodoros and parallels to the Stelodoro. They like to be divided about every 3 years. So they bloom better if done that way too. Good time to cut back clematis vines too. Golly, here in another 3 or 4 weeks, they're going to be starting to grow. And so it's time to get those cut back too, so you don't miss out on the blooms.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and cut them back, and then they'll put on some fresh growth. And Don't go too far with it. I've had some customers cut them all the way to the ground, and they do okay. But cut them back to what we call the main scaffold, which is the main trunk, and a little bit of the side branches on it. Sort of like to do grapes.
There you go.
But anyway.
Think grapes, and you'll be great.
Exactly. Also, some azaleas may get some winter damage. Look closely at your azaleas and see if the bark is peeling away. Typically, they get winter damage if we have a cold spell associated with some dry weather. Last year, we didn't have that. It was moist enough. We didn't have a lot of dieback in last year's zapper of a cold spell mm-hmm. on azaleas and things like that because the moisture level was pretty good.
Got it.
So if there is a cold spell coming on, you might want to go ahead and water the hound out of them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of with that on there. They will open up in the spring and early summer, your azaleas will. So I'll still look at the bark. So. Anyway, at the nursery, not a lot going on. We're kind of quiet right now. We do have a good selection of house plants, mm-hmm. some succulent plants and all that. So come by. We're open only on Friday and Saturday.
But for right now.
But if we're there, you know, I had somebody come in Thursday, bought a gift certificate, and, you know.
We'll help you out.
And bought a bag of mulch, and so mm-hmm. so we're still there. Just come on by, and yeah. we'll be glad to help you out. Anyway, we're on No Water Road, south side of the road. Mm-hmm. That's Highway 60. And halfway between Washington Boulevard and Madison Boulevard on the south side of the road. So come check us out. Right now, we are busy growing all kinds of perennials and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And we are keeping our shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. Take care, folks. News is next.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460.
KWON, Bartlesville. K227CQ, Bartlesville. K236CT, Pawhuska.